to the show, Dr. Joy.
Thank you so much for having me on your show tonight.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, I've been looking into your books, and you are a fascinating individual in your own right, so many accomplishments, and of course, tonight we will talk about several of your books, but before we get going, give us a little history of Dr. Joy Pugh. Where are you from? What do you do, and why did you get into prophecy and these types of things real quick?
Well, real quick, I started being interested in prophecy as a young girl. I had a strange dream, and it kind of set me on a pathway to try to figure out what the dream was all about. So all of my history as far as things that I went to school for, I worked on my master's and my doctorate, and so I continued this thought process about the end of days because I felt like the dream had something to do with that. So all of my books are nonfiction, and they are really about a lot of different subjects. I touch on everything from cloning to ancient history to biblical history. I mean, biogenetics, there's not anything that my books don't really encompass because I feel like that every part of every field of study has something to do with the beginning and the end. So they're pretty chock full of information and very detailed. And I've been doing this quite a long time now, about 40 years of research. So it's taken a lot of my time to be able to put together some of these books. Some of them have taken me 6 and 7 years of research. So it's very, very important that when I speak to people about what I research, that they get a whole understanding if they read my books, that it's not so hard to read what I write, that the books are written in such a way that anyone that's even maybe 12 years old on up can understand it. They're not like for just PhDs, that kind of thing.
Have you ever had prophetic dreams?
Yes, I did when I was, the first one that I had was when I was 6 years old, and I felt like that I saw the end of days, and it really set me on a course for what I do today. I never realized at age six that something like that could really set a pathway in your life, but it was always the undercurrent for everything that I did. And then as time went on, then of course I had other little dreams that typically made me feel that I had been given some information prior to the truth coming out maybe the next day after I woke up. And so I've always paid attention to these dreams that I've had. I've always paid attention to things where I felt like the Holy Spirit really was speaking to me about something. And as I've gotten older, then I have seen how it has laid a foundation of my life. I started out really wanting to be a professor and to be in a college, maybe a college president, that kind of thing. But the course of where my life has gone, it set me on these pathways to really bring about information to people who are searching about the end of days. And it's been important to me to be able to answer questions that other people have avoided because they just didn't take the time to research it. So my books are very informative. It's not something that you're going to read through in one night. You're going to have to really sit down and ponder because there's so much information put in them. But they're interesting because when you turn the TV on, or you listen to anything that's in current news, then you can go to my books and you'll be able to find something about it that actually ties in to the end of days. So they're very informative books.
Well, as I look out across the land, it sure looks like the end of days to me a lot of times, and I got to fight back. Well, maybe not today, but soon. And I know that as you get do interviews, I'm sure the people ask you what is how close are we to the end of days? Is end of days a period of time, a year, a decade? How do you see it?
Well, you know, when I first started working on this all these years ago, I felt like that it was in the generation in which we are living. So that generation, we have to look what is a generation as far as biblical scripture is concerned. And most times we've been taught that it's around 70 years. And so if we're looking at a period of time that maybe we would say that when Israel became a nation, that maybe we had a generation at that point start. And from that time, we may be able to look at what has changed from that particular time until today. And when I would do the research, I was looking for specific little red flags. And at first, Daniel, the red flags were very far apart. Because what the Bible is telling us, or Scripture is telling us, is that it's like a woman in travail, in which when a woman is pregnant and she gets closer to the days in which she's going to deliver her child, those things, as far as pains are concerned, get more intense and they get closer together. So when I would go back and look at what the scripture was saying, Like, what are we going to be looking at? We're going to be looking at changes in the stars, sun, moon, and stars. We're going to be looking at things as far as hurricanes and bad weather and plagues and pestilences. We're going to be looking that there's going to be an expansion of knowledge, that there's going to be something happening in the Middle East that will bring about some type of peace, or that there was going to be rumors of wars and things like that. So I started just kind of plotting those things out so I could kind of see where are we at on a time scale. And so when I first started this research 40 years ago, there may be something, you know, one here and one there and one here. But what happened is, because I've done the research for so long, now where we might have a bad earthquake here and a bad hurricane here, we might have a bad tornado here, and we might have some strange things happening with people, unrest in our communities and things like that. You might have an unrest here and there. But what I've seen by plotting this for so long is the intensity of these things are getting greater. Mm-hmm. The other thing is they're getting closer together. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the final generation as to what it's telling us is that the last generation before an Antichrist comes to power and the return of Jesus Christ back to earth would be that it would be like this. And so what I'm seeing now is, you know, there's a lot of people that try to set dates. And I know that through the course of history, people have tried to set dates and people stay away from that. I've always looked at the people who set dates that they were really trying to be watchmen on the wall, because I think it's important to talk about it and not say, oh, it's out there somewhere and we don't need to be worried about it. Mm-hmm. If you don't discuss it and discuss how close these things are, then you're fooling yourself and you're going to be like a frog in a boiling pot of water. In other words, you put that frog in there and you turn the water on just a little bit, and you gradually turn the heat up, that frog, you will boil him, and he will not even know that he's dying. And so what I've been able to see and what I try to share in my research is that these things are happening closer and closer together, but they're subtle, but they're more and more, and the intensity gets worse and worse. So if I had to just speculate, you know, I think within probably the next maybe 20 years, something significant is going to happen, simply because we have got these things so close together. Mm-hmm. And if it's like a woman in travail, I mean, you go to a certain time and that child is born. Mm-hmm. So where we are looking at, for example, the weather is a very crucial thing right now, where we're looking at this last week, we had records broken everywhere. We had heat indices so high in the top part of our country, like New York. I mean, it's bad enough in South Georgia, where I was born and raised. We never had this kind of temperature. I worked out as a child in Tobacco, and we could not have been out doing this kind of work in this kind of heat. So a lot of things in the South are having to turn to night shift kinds of things. Like if you're working in asphalt, they're trying to do roads at night for the simple reason is that you can't withstand the heat. Your body literally can't withstand it. So when you look at that and look at the changes, and then you start seeing what it's doing to the power grid here, and our power grids are terrible, and then you look at the warming of our climate, then the waters out in the oceans are getting warmer. That brings about more hurricanes, more violent hurricanes. It brings about more tornadoes. I mean, when I was a child, you never heard of tornadoes like in our area. And now every time we have a bad thunderstorm, we've got major damage. So because of that, and because of the years that I've done this, I see how close those things are getting together. Yeah. And it's very concerning.
Yeah, I have had more than a number of guests over the years that have set dates. And I know one guy, it was a date that was set in October. He said it in October. He said, and he sent me the data to back it up, I suppose, his proof. And that date came and went. So I reached back out to him and said, hey, can we have you back on the show and we could discuss what went wrong, or, you know, what interfered with your thing? And he says, well, I can't make it back to the show. I'm heading to Europe and I don't know when I'll be back. and then another guy sent me a 7-DVD set. And man, the mathematical formulas that he had produced to prove his point, that date came and went. And that was sometime in June. And that came and went. I couldn't get him back on the show. So I'm a little bit against that. But I got to say, now, in my little part of the world, my wife and I are beekeepers, and we notice.
I write about that in one of my books about the bees.
And we noticed that the bees weren't going onto the clover. Well, they always go to the clover. And we never put pesticides in our yard because we want our bees to live. We want to live too, as a matter of fact. But they wouldn't go there. Well, what's happened? We have had so much rain this year. I've never seen anything like it. It's been it washed the nectar out of the flowers that they would normally get. So we had a really bad start this season. And then in Indiana, I don't know, the corn planting was so bad. It is so low. They were planting at the end of June, and they should have been planting 2 months earlier, and they couldn't. And so now we got the scrawniest looking corn, and Indiana's a corn state, nothing but corn here. And so, but I got to say, and then I mentioned we have a relative in the south western part of the United States that's been flooded out, and they live in a virtual lake, and it was a farm field, and their house is in the middle of a lake. So torrential rains, I'm seeing direct effects of that. And then we had those swarms of earthquakes just here 2 weeks ago. So you're right on message and right on point about the sort of the advancing of the rumblings. And I would go, and I don't move very fast when somebody says, you know, there's a quickening, there's more of this, you know, more earthquakes, more this or that. You know, I kind of look out my window and see if I'm seeing this or that. And when I start seeing it, then I start having a little bit more belief to it. But I would say there is definitely a quickening of something with the natural world.
I mean, that's the thing I guess because I've done the research for so long. So I saw when we didn't have this, and I know when I did my Begal series, this particular book series was volume 1, 2, and 3, and it was so large that I couldn't get it all in one book, and we had to go to 3 volumes. But when I did the volume 2, and the back of it, I have an index of nothing but information about what things were happening all over the world when they were happening. And so what I was able to see, just like you're saying, red flag here and there, and where people would say, oh, well, we had a bird death over here in China, and we lost, let's say, 50,000 birds in one day. Mm-hmm. But the problem was we also lost 50,000 birds, let's say, in New Zealand on the same day or somewhere. So you couldn't really say that those birds died maybe of a pesticide situation mm-hmm. when there was birds dying in all places. And back when I did my first book that's been redone, this Antichrist book, The Cloned Image of Jesus Christ, back in 1999, and now that's a new book that's been updated, I was trying to talk about these dinoflagellate that were actually these little creatures that were in the estuaries up in North Carolina that were actually making a neurotoxin. And there was a scientist trying her best to make this known, and they were really trying to shut her down because what was happening was that was going to mess up the economic situation. You know, it's kind of like we look after our economic situation before we look after people dying or fish dying or whatever, because it's going to mess up an industry. And so what I began trying to warn people back when I did this first book, Antichrist, was that these kind of things were going to start, and they were starting. So now we've got that same situation happen out in our oceans. Okay, you can see just Mississippi last month closed all their beaches for the purpose that there is an algae out there that's producing a neurotoxin, and it's killing the fish and everything. We're talking about major mammals, where we've got like dolphins that are like you and I mm-hmm. actually washing ashore, and they're mm-hmm. dying. They're telling you don't go in the water, mm-hmm. don't eat the fish. Mm-hmm. And also along with that, it's the flesh-eating bacteria that continues to manifest itself in places like that. And like you're talking about, where we didn't see this before, for example, a swimming pool. I have a swimming pool. And usually you put deeper chemicals as you get into the summer months, and maybe July and August you start seeing the problems with algae in your yellow mustards and stuff like that. We were having that problem back in March. I mean, we're talking about when the water should still be cold. So the fact that we're seeing beaches closing, and most of the beaches around now, you know, when you go out on the sand, they've got a little thing sitting out there telling you A, B, C, or either don't get on the sand. Well, I'm telling you from the research that I did back in this particular book that you got up on the screen there, was that it was already a serious situation that our government knew about and was trying to keep quiet. And now it's out in our oceans mm-hmm. and it's killing people, and it's neurotoxins. Well, our government was out there trying to figure out how to use it for a biological weapon, but they weren't raising flags. Don't be eating the, you know, fish, and don't be swimming out there, and don't be fishing, and don't be breathing it. And it actually killed one of the scientists that was out there doing it. I mean, they became very sick, and neurologically they died from the neurotoxins. So we're talking about something that's very, very serious, Daniel, where there are dead spots in our mm-hmm. ocean, where there's nothing there. There's not anything even on the floor of the ocean.
Now, doctor, is this different from the red tide?
It's similar. It's the same thing as the red tide.
Okay, yeah, because I've heard that blooming, that it's getting, it's much larger is what.
Yes, but it started, like I say, in 1999 when I first came out with this first book. I was already telling you that it was happening in these estuaries, and they were seeing it in these estuaries, and they were saying it was coming from the runoff of, like, the hog manure and the chicken manure that was running down in through the water, and it was causing this particular plant to become like a part plant and part animal. And what happened was it set up this algae in these red tides, and it's very, very serious. Very, very serious. Our oceans are dying. It's just like you're talking about the honeybee. Anybody that doesn't understand that when the honeybee dies, and I mentioned this, I think, in my Gal book and in my book called Eden, the series of Eden, that you're talking about the bees. When you lose your bees, they're the pollinators. And mankind cannot pollinate. We have to rely on that. Mm-hmm. And these colonies of bees, I was already going, like, raising red flags. Mm-hmm. Either it's the chemicals we're using, or it's the Roundup, or it's this Monsanto product, whatever, it's killing our bees.
Yeah, one of our Facebook friends said that they had to pollinate their own plants due to the lack of bees. Let me ask you something. Do you think Lyme disease was government created?
Well, you know, there's a lot of the things that I mentioned even in that first book, Antichrist, and in other books. I fully believe that some of the things, including AIDS, had a start with somebody manipulating something. I mean, I think we can go back and we can look at when the AIDS virus started, that they were inoculating people for certain kinds of problems over in Africa. The problem is that when you develop a vaccination, you have to have a something that you put it in to be able to, for the body to assimilate it. Well, at the time, they were using a virus that they knew from the green monkey that would allow that to assimilate into you. But the problem was, is they didn't know what that virus was. It was just that it was being able to be used. Well, we know that the monkey was the first one that was actually seen with this particular virus. Mm-hmm. So there's things like that. There's things like Lyme disease. You know, I'll go so far as saying that even our chemtrails that we see in the air and the spraying that we can clearly see being done. I mean, I live in South Georgia where the skies are very beautiful, and you can see, like, circling and these rolling things. So it's quite obvious that there's something going on. People here tend to have more sinus problems, and so they send you to the doctor and they put you on Flonase and all these kind of things. But it's breaking down your immune system. When I used to work with really handicapped children, I would find that the children who lived more in a poverty situation had better immune systems than the kids that were very wealthy, because the kids that were very wealthy were being put on all these drugs, and their bodies were not being able to, you know, to fight against the stuff, where the people who were out in it and dealing with it every day actually did better. Mm-hmm. And then when they started doing their vaccination programs and started inoculating children for all these different kinds of diseases, then we started getting the autism problems. My husband was a victim of a flu shot. So I really can tell you that inoculations and things like that, that the government is not telling the whole story about it, and it is it's definitely affecting humanity.
We've got a number of questions coming in for you. Before we do, and I do admire your work with handicapped or disabled kids, but did I read in one of your books that you were able to somehow to look into the spirituality of say, a handicapped person or a disabled or one that has autism? Were you able to determine that their spirit is still in there and is perfectly intact and works like everybody else's? What was that?
Okay, I did a radio show not too long ago where I was talking about my work on the pineal gland, because the pineal gland is, in fact, this is in volume 2 of the Begal series. The pineal gland is a gland that sits right in our forehead here, and it's a third eye. You've heard it talked about in Eastern religions because it's the third eye. The problem is we've never been told that it's a workable gland, but in a lizard, it is a workable gland that it actually sees through it. So in my graduate work, I came in contact with a class in which I had a professor who could do hypnotism. And so I watched one of my best friends become hypnotized and watched what he was able to do with her. And the fact that she was able to, for example, he took her to the first grade. She was sitting right next to me. I'm watching this, like, right looking at her. Mm-hmm. He takes and he gives her a pencil. Let's just say this is a good pencil. Right. And he tells her, with these lines on this paper right here, he says, I want you to write your name here. Okay, with her eyes closed, when you're hypnotized, your eyes are closed, but mm-hmm. you're in rapid eye movement. If you've ever seen somebody dreaming, their eyelids will be doing right. like this. They'll be a quivering in it. Mm-hmm. And what he told her to do was write her name. And she took that pencil and held it like the number two big old pencils that we had when I was young in first grade. And where you had like two lines, you had to make draw your name out. She wrote it just like she was in the first grade. I mean, holding the pencil, and with her eyes closed, she hit those two lines and wrote her name. Then he told her to look around and tell her who was before and behind. And she looked around and she said, well, there's Johnny back there, and he's got on this blue shirt and whatever. And what, I mean, it was amazing. And she was talking like she was a child. So then he told her, I'm going to give you another pencil. I'm going to move you up to the seventh grade. He gives her a piece of paper and a pencil. She turns the paper sideways like we do when we would cursive write. Mm-hmm. And she writes her name in cursive. And she hits this little bitty line right here perfectly in penmanship. Her eyes are closed.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay, how do you see that with your eyes closed? That was very interesting to me. The unusual has always been interesting to me. So my sister would always sleepwalk as a child. And I could never figure out how she could walk all through the house. And when she would come to the bed where my grandmother and I were, her eyes would be doing that little rapid eye movement, but her eyes were not open. And it was a thing that you never woke up somebody sleepwalking. That was right. Taboo. Don't do that. Just tell them to turn around and go get to bed. Well, people can walk all around. They won't fall in their swimming pools or anything else. So I'm like, how are they doing that? This eye is working. So when I was working with handicapped people, especially people who were dual diagnosis that were mentally retarded, they would have a schizophrenic situation, which is kind of a bipolar thing now, but schizophrenic meaning there was different personalities within one body, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, what would happen, you got a really mentally retarded person who was not able to say complete sentences, for example. But yet when they would flip to another personality, they would become like a wrestler on TV. They would become that kind of person, but yet they would know things that in their state of mental retardation they would never know. So there's things like this that I think that the pineal gland has a possibility of more things, and that the mm-hmm. spirit world and our soul resides through this pineal gland. Because what would happen was, when I would deal with these people that were in the schizophrenic state, they would always say, I hear these voices in my head. They're telling me this. Mm-hmm. And it was always bad stuff. But if you're handicapped and you're only able to know so much, you would never be able to converse about that like you and I are doing. But yet in that other personality, mm-hmm. they were able to do that. Mm-hmm. So quite interesting that the voices are there. They hear terminology that they understand in that state that they didn't understand in the state when they were in an awakened state mm-hmm. or in a different personality. So, yes, there's some very unusual things that are going on with the mind. And, you know, in studying this, I hate to say it, but our government's getting pretty good at controlling us through sound mm-hmm. and through videos.
Wow. Well, we're controlling the audience right now through our video. All right, let's get to a couple questions for you, Dr. Joy. We have Azur saying, do you have an opinion on the Planet X prophecies?
Well, you know, in the Planet X prophecies, I've heard a lot of things about Nibiru and things like that. The things from, we have to look at, because I base my research on scripture. Science is telling us, and we can look at it. NASA has got new systems all up and down the East Coast watching for meteorites mm-hmm. and the size of them. Right. At one time, they would share that information. Now you don't get to know how many are coming in, but they think something's really coming in, so they're paying attention. The other thing is the Vatican has put a huge satellite out on Indian reservation land mm-hmm. with a telescope called Lucifer. Right. They're watching it at the sun because they really believe that something's going to come out of the sun. It's going to be so fast it's going to hit us. We also know that NASA has developed a program to try to, when that comes at us, you really bust it up. It's kind of like a Star Wars defense right, system so that it doesn't hit us. So what I'm saying with that is that, yes, there's a star called Wormwood, according to scripture, at the end of days that is going to come and it's going to hit us. And according to Scripture, it will destroy one third of everything here. So yes, the Vatican knows it. NASA knows it. They know it's out there. They know it's coming. Where we've used the terminology of Planet X, mm-hmm. Nibiru, whatever, mm-hmm. in Scripture, it's called wormwood.
Interesting you say that, because I saw a headline not too long ago, and if anybody watching the program can chime in on this, just say something about it. I thought I read, it said Trump is moving his cabinet people around the country, and it said why. Their location. I didn't read the articles. I thought, wow, I want to get to that one, but I never did. So if anybody knows anything about it. All right, let's get to another question. This is from One-on-One. It said, why would anybody try to set dates for the return of Christ when the Scripture says today is the day if you've hardened not your heart?
Well, the thing about it is, as far as setting dates, there are certain things that have been etched in time. For example, the Mayan prophecies that were the 2012 prophecies. So a lot of people say, well, nothing really happened. I believe something did happen. I believe that 2012, we started seeing a difference in the amount of increase in the numbers of bad things happening, like I'm saying. From before 2012, like I say, in my research, there was little things that came along. But after 2012, we started seeing more of these, what they call ornaments, and that was one of the things that was in the prophecy. Mm-hmm. We now know that we have got an Air Force and a Navy that's going, okay, wake up. We've got these strange things in the sky.
Sure.
They're moving around. We can't keep up them with our best technology. We don't know what they are. We can't protect the American people from these things. What is it? So now I'm thinking that the Mayan prophecies that we're talking about, that there was going to be these things and there was going to be weathered fruit. Look at how we are going into this process of not being able to provide food. I mean, mm-hmm. we're going to start seeing just what has happened mm-hmm. in the United States with the flooding that happened all through the Mississippi and got rid of the grain bins and the cattle, and like you're talking about, the corn's not growing.
Right.
We're on the beginning stages of when we go to the grocery stores, we're going to see prices start going up because the demand is going to increase.
Right.
But the supply is going to get less and less and less.
Right, and we got millions of extra mouths to feed through the illegal immigration coming up here, so we got to feed them too.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So yeah, no, you're right. I believe there's going to be a food shortage. All right. Teddy asked this question. It says, "Do the Scriptures tell us anything about the third eye, the existence of the third eye?"
Well, you know, in Scripture, I couldn't ever understand why it said to keep your eye. It always said eye, and to watch your eye. So if you're interested in knowing where the Bible says the word eye, get a strong concordance or go to a biblical app and just put in eye, and it will bring you up the Scriptures that mention your eye is single. There's many times it's mentioned like that.
Yeah.
And I fully believe that if that is where the communication, it's interesting, Daniel, the pineal gland is it looks like a pine cone looking thing that kind of spins. And in the Eastern religions, they would do like this arm and try to make it come alive. And they would say it was bringing the serpent up the spine into the crown chakra.
Wow.
And that they would have an illuminated experience. Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is, if you cross-section the brain, the pineal gland sits right in the center and your brain looks like the Ark of the Covenant.
Wow.
So if that's the case, and you are the temple of God, then you're bringing the serpent up the spine into your Holy of Holies. Well, if that pineal gland is made out of quartz, like I have proved it in my research that it is, it is a transponder and a receiver. Mm-hmm. So you literally are transmitting, and you are also receiving, and that's why the government, unfortunately, and the powers that be that want to control us are learning how can I use particle beam or some kind of beam. And recently, you know, it was released that I believe it was MIT had come up with the ability to now, like if you were sitting so far away from me in a restaurant, I can beam something to your head and you'll hear it go, "Hey Daniel, how are you?
Okay.
What are you up to?" You will hear the voice in your head. Well, how many people want to go like, did you hear that? And if everybody says, "No, I didn't hear anything," what is that going to do to you? Because that's where a schizophrenic gets this mixed signal and their hearing. I've always said that the schizophrenic person has actually crossed into that spiritual realm where there is a satanic something actually talking to them. And like you and I, if we were to hear that in our head, we would be like, did y'all hear this? And if somebody said mm-hmm. no, and they kept talking to you like, mm-hmm. I know all about you.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go do this. It would scare you to death. And you'd be afraid to talk to, you know, really talk about it.
Well, I don't consider myself schizophrenic, but I have told this story on the show before. I was in a convenience store line checking out, and you have this normal chit chat with the person at the register. You know, how you doing? Fine. You know, you kind of like almost mumble out the door. So I said, how you doing? I said, I'm fine. And I heard a voice, plain as day, say, ask him again. And I looked around. I said, well, who said that? You know, who's telling me to ask him again? It was not normal part of my thought process. I couldn't believe I was talking to myself. And then I did ask him again. And then all mm-hmm. of a sudden he started telling me his life story and how all these things were going wrong, and he was so appreciative that I asked him. I was like, wow, if I didn't listen to that voice, I wouldn't have been able to sort of minister to him like I was able to. But, I mean, it was a voice. I wasn't schizophrenic. But let's get to another question.
That's right, and that's what I'm saying is that voice does exist. Mm. And if it's a voice that God speaks to you, and people have God speak to them and they don't even realize it. Mm-hmm. For example, one time I was coming from work and I was going into town, and I started to go around this car. And as I'm going around it, I hear it plain as day, the front left tire is about to blow out, back off. And I literally put on brakes. The car's front tire blows out, and if I had continued going, it would have ran into me and would have gone right off the road and probably would have killed me.
Wow.
I heard that as plain as day.
Wow.
So I really do believe that in our forehead, we have a transponder receiver. And the Bible tells us that God knows every thought.
Mm-hmm.
Every thought. He knows every hair on our head. Well, you know, this be the case. If that is transponding like I believe it is, and our DNA is actually vibrating at a certain vibratory state where each one of us have our own song and we're mm-hmm. singing, then a creator that made it all is like a great conductor, and he knows every note we are playing, good or bad.
Wow. You know, of course, now a couple more things on the eye. Of course, the Bible does say if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. So there are a lot of allusions to the eye. But
yes.
Interesting, my wife and I went to, we wanted to go see a movie. And there's nothing out there. We got stuck watching Spider-Man. So we're figuring, you know, this Spider-Man movie, you know, is pretty innocuous. Hopefully there were no gay scenes in there. I don't want to see no gay Spider-Man. Somehow I figure he's going to be in there. Probably the next guy. But anyway, this character had this jacket on, and on his shoulder was this eye. And then eye was opening and closing. And I was thinking, I was telling Susan, I said, you know, they wrote that in there. So there's a suit. We want him to have a jacket. We want an eye right there looking at other Illuminati symbols. It's like, they wrote that in there, man. What is it about this eye thing that they want us to know?
Well, I think, you know, the Eastern religions always used it for a way for you to try to illuminate yourself. It's a way to try to come and become godlike. And all of your esoteric teachings, all your sacred alchemy, all your sacred scientists have always tried to get you to be able to perfect your own body. In other words, we become gods ourselves. And that was kind of what was promised in the Garden of Eden by Satan to Eve. You can be like God. Well, when you bring, like I said, when you bring the serpent up the spine and you put it in your Holy of Holies, think about what you're really, really doing when you do that and how dangerous that is, because you begin making your line a party line. And, of course, there's things like possession. And people don't really believe that in The Exorcist. A lot of people don't realize that the story of The Exorcist that we saw back in the 70s with Blair playing that particular woman that became possessed, that was based on truth. That was based on a case study. So if you study this like I do, and I bring up a lot of things in my work about demonology and how this works and how casting out devils and all this stuff is real. I mean, the Bible says it was real. When Jesus walked the earth, mm-hmm. one of the first things he did was encounter these demonic presences, and they talked to him. They knew who he was. He talked back to them, and they asked to run into the swine. He mm-hmm. allowed them to do it, mm-hmm. and those pigs ran off the hill and went right in the water. No. So it's something that's real that exists around us. Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask something about that. I haven't heard too many people comment. Were those demons destroyed, or did they fly out and hit the next body that they could get?
I fully believe that they cannot die. And the reason I believe that they cannot die is that this is the cause.
Mm-hmm.
When you have an entity that's born from something that was not created by God, and I truly believe that goes back to what happened in the Garden of Eden and what led to the mm-hmm. flood of Noah, was that we had something called giants that lived during mm-hmm. that time period. And it says in Genesis 6:4 that the daughters of man were actually come upon by the sons of God, and they produced these strange, huge beings. Well, mm-hmm. DNA proves to us that if Eve was taken from Adam's rib, that's the most purest place you can get DNA out of anybody. Okay, if we got pure DNA, then we don't have tainted DNA. So everything will be after its kind. And what God created in the Garden of Eden was everything after its kind. In other words, there was a pear tree that was after its kind, a pecan tree after its kind. There was nothing mixed. The only thing that was mixed, and we were told to stay away from it, and that was the tree of good and evil. There was a mixture of it. Mm-hmm. But everything else, the tree of life, the other fruit trees were all of the same thing. So there was no mixing going on. So if you create perfectness, there's no tainting in it. So when you get a giant, you had a tainting of the human nature with something else. Okay, that would create some kind of spiritual being that when that died, it says that our spirit goes back to God who created it. But if it was done through fallen angels, through the Nephilim, through Anunnaki, we've heard all kinds of words and terms used for that, but it created a giant, and we know the giants existed because we have archaeological digs that really show us these Absolutely. Huge skulls and mm-hmm. these huge bones. And so if that was the case, even after the flood, there was Og, there was Goliath, who were remnants of those giants. And so they did exist, but you cannot get from pure, in other words, if Adam and Eve had had a child, it would have been after their kind. It could have never been a giant. So what I'm saying is those things are tainted. So where mm-hmm. our spirit is judged by God, it goes back to God, it's a breath of life. Something that's recreated that's not like that would have to walk the earth. And there is a story that I mentioned actually in my Eden book, The Knowledge of Good and Evil, this particular book. It was called The Epic of Gilgamesh, and it was written on clay tablets called cuneiform tablets. There were clay tablets. And it was a story of the Epic of Gilgamesh, and it was a story of a giant who was trying to find the spark of life so his body would not die, because he knew that if his flesh died, that his demonic presence would have to roam the earth without settlement here. In mm-hmm. other words, it would have to go from either possessing somebody or going into something or living in a disembodied state while it was in this particular presence. If that be the case, they were trying their best to figure out a way to find the spark, which they call the particle of God. In other words, the God particle. Well, you know, with a Hadron Collider, we've been mm-hmm. trying to find the God particle. Yeah. Everybody's mm-hmm. looking for that one thing that's the God particle, because if you can go back to perfect first matter without any deviation of the DNA, then you get rid of the death gene. You understand? It yeah. becomes a major thing wow. to look for.
Mm. All right, well, speaking of blood, do you suggest in one of your books that they recovered the blood of Jesus?
Oh, yes. In fact, in all of my books, I talk about this. I started talking about it in the book that you have up there. That was the first one that came out and it's been redone. But I really was interested in knowing how an Antichrist could come to power, how it could be in a state of a man, but yet it would not have a soul, because if you have a demonic entity mm-hmm. that would come in and try to take over a body, then like the exorcist, it can be exorcised out, or you can throw holy water on it. Well, wow. how could an Antichrist, if he was possessed, how could he stay possessed? If we wanted to get rid of the Antichrist within him, we could do some type of exorcism, because he's in a human form. In other mm-hmm. words, he's right. allowing this possession to happen. So that couldn't work. So I went back and I looked at what was it that John the Revelator was actually telling us. And in my book, the Beguile series, Volume 1 of this book, I really go into great detail about how the Shroud of Turin, that they had taken this blood off the Shroud of Turin back in the 1960s when the Stirrup Committee, which was a research group that went in and studied the Shroud of Turin, and they were saying that there was actually blood on that shroud mm-hmm. and they actually cloned some of that blood, and they were able to tell the chromosomes and what it was and that kind of thing. And also bring up in my work about Ron White, who was an excellent archaeologist, who believed that he found blood on the mercy seat, and he believed, or he told that he got that blood off of the mercy seat, off of the Ark of the Covenant, that it was in Jeremiah's grotto, which was under the cross when Christ was crucified, and we know there was an earthquake and the blood ran down into that area.
Mm-hmm.
That blood, when he had it reconstituted, was still alive. Well, if it's still alive, then he could clone it. It would be no problem, because I want to say this. Yeah, I just did say that. If you do this, if you take an egg out of a woman and you hollow it out and take all the DNA out of it, okay, you can do this in a high school laboratory. I mean, it's not something hard. And we take and we scrape a skin cell off of us, or we take blood or whatever from any whatever, and we pop it in that woman's egg.
Okay.
And we reimplant it in the woman.
All right.
In 9 months, that woman will give birth to a baby that has nothing to do with her. She is just a chamber of which it grew in. Mm-hmm. When it's born, it will be the identical copy of wherever the skin cell, blood cell came from. So if it's mine, when she delivers it, it will be another joy. It's not a twin. It is actually my flesh regenerated, because every skin cell, every cell of our body is holographic. And some people can't get that in their brain.
Wow.
Every cell of your body is a holographic you. In other words, we could keep cloning you, cloning you, cloning you every day. Okay, so let's just stop and think. The one thing that we all want is to be able to live forever. I mean, whether we want to go to heaven or live here, we want to live forever. If I've got the blood of Jesus, what is the first thing I want to do with that? I want to know that he could come back. So if I could bring him back, if I could clone him, why would I not want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you really think, when I first started thinking about it, great idea. The problem is, when Jesus resurrected, he took his resurrected spirit and his body and went into heaven. If you clone me, there's only one spirit. It's only once for man to die once, and then the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So when you clone my flesh, there is no soul in it. So if that baby's born, it looks just like me. It'll grow up and it will look just like me. But it doesn't have a soul in it. Okay, so when I started looking at this, back in the Jewish Talmud, there was things called golems. There was flesh that did not have a soul in it. We call beast of the field.
Whoa.
This is where your things like Frankenstein, where Shelley got this information from when they wrote the book of Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
And what they would do, they grew the flesh, and then what do? They electrified. And Frankenstein comes alive. Mm-hmm. It was a golem that gives a piece of flesh that came alive. Interesting enough, when we take my skin cell and we put it in that woman's egg, we have to electrify it for it to start dividing. So we're kind of playing God in a way, but we can't put the spirit in there. And that's why when this all this controversy about when does life begin, it begins the moment the sperm touches the egg. When the sperm touches the egg, there's an electrical magnification that is a spark, which now they just come out. In fact, I got something the other day where they're showing it. They actually captured that moment.
I've seen that. It's amazing. I've seen that. It's like, where's this spark coming from?
That's right. And we can't recreate it, because that's God. That's godly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but that moment that spark happens, you are made. And so in my books, I explain this. The law of thermodynamics. Law of thermodynamics means that any time energy is made, it can never be destroyed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's like H2O. It can be in gas, it can be water, it can be ice, but it's still H2O. The energy that's created when you come together like that is the energy that never dies. Okay, so what happens when you fall over with a heart attack or whatever? We go running to get the paddles and what are we doing? We're trying to electrically bring you back.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to bring that spark back to you. Well, what happens is if you die, and I've done a lot of near-death experience as far as case studies, what happens is when the body leaves, you are still you. You look like you.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's you. Your mind is still there. But you're looking at your body that literally is down there, and you know it's a shell. It looks like you, but you're here. You're not there. So that spark stays alive. That energy stays intact. So once you're made, when that sperm and the egg come together, bingo, there's life. It's not 2 months later. It's not 3 months later. It's that spark. And that spark, that energy, never dies. It can never be destroyed. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like I've mentioned before in radio shows. When the burning bush was in the wilderness, it was burning, but it wasn't consumed.
Right.
When people say, oh, well, I don't have to worry about it. It's lights out at death. If a burning bush can be burned and not be consumed, don't think that God hasn't figured out how to make you burn in hell forever and not be consumed. Because he could literally take every skin cell and reconstitute and bring you back and bring you back and bring you back and burn you forever.
Wow.
So it's something.
Don't want that.
Energy is very important to understand because it's the spark of life.
So a lot of people say that aliens as a species, interesting, you said in the first hour, you said that now the Navy, they had to rewrite the rules. There's so many sightings now that they've got the rules rewritten to document it. And so they're coming out of the woodwork there. But many people say that these alien species, like when they abduct somebody and do hideous probing in various areas and different things, they almost are soulless. People are screaming and crying, but they look at you like with absolutely no emotion whatsoever. Are these beings, these kind of golem things, are they bodies without spirits?
Well, I fully believe that what we've got is a fallen angel that's doing something in our skies. And this has been going on since even in Egypt. There are pictures, even in the pyramids, of these things in the sky. So we're not looking at something that just started happening. I know when I first started talking about UFOs and all this about alien things, people were like, oh, really? But the problem is, I have been able to see some of these things in the sky and was able to know that, first of all, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I have no reason, I don't take drugs. I'm a Christian. I have 20/20 vision. There's no reason for me to make it up. So scientifically, when I would see these things, I would be like paying attention. What is happening? Where is it at? What's going on? I'm like those guys that are in those airplanes out there and those Navy ships going, this is not something to play around with. It's very real. And, of course, I counsel a lot of people who have had the experience of having something come into their room, paralyze them where they could not move, have these terrible things done to them. They're not lying about that. They're literally scared to death. I've had people say they went out and slept in their car because they didn't want to sleep in their house. So they went to a filling station and stayed in a filling station all night because they just wanted to be with somebody because they were that scared. These people are not telling a story about what's happening to them. And it's interesting, these beings are very, like, there's no emotion, none whatsoever. No emotions. They look frog-like. And in the book of Revelation, it talks about us. It talks about the false prophet, the beast, and the dragon all have these frog-looking things. This how spirits of frogs within them. And the Bible really tells us that. Also, in the book of Daniel, it talks about the holy ones coming down and the watchers. And we're told these watchers are watching us. They know everything about us. They hear us. They see us. They can manifest when they want to. I mean, even Scripture tells us that the angels that came to see Lot and Abraham looked like men. They were literally, they looked like men. And then in the Sumerian, you know, archaeological record where we can go over into the Babylonian area where all those people were first saying, well, how do we get civilization? They're saying that these beings came out of the sea. Well, when they draw them architecturally in stone, they look like they're part men, and then half of them looks like they're scaled, and they look serpent-y, and they have like a wing on them. And they're always toting this little thing that looks like a little box, and they have this little thing that looks like a pine cone.
All right.
Well, what that is they're using telluric energy from these megalithic sites. And I talk about megalithic buildings and how they're all on these telluric energy sites that cover our entire planet. Well, that little box is no different than what Tesla, and I talk about Tesla in my Eden book. He said that we had free energy, and we could use it from the Earth. And it's like all the megalithic buildings, like the pyramids, Stonehenge, are all on these telluric sites, which there's energy coming up through them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you go back and look in the Chinese history, it says that things flew the path of the dragon. So they were flying these things, and they were using this energy. So when you look at those entities like I'm talking about, supposedly who taught the Sumerians intelligence, they were carrying this little thing that looks like a little pocketbook. Well, it was actually like a coil, because what Tesla was showing us back when he developed what he did, he said, I can take a coil, I can put it in your car, or I can put it in your house, and no, you don't need any electricity. In other words, you can drive your car, you can fly a plane, you can do whatever. Well, and then at the same time, that telluric energy is like an oracle, where in which Endor sat on the oracle site, she conjured up Samuel to Saul, King Saul. The Bible doesn't tell us she didn't do it. It says she did do it. It just says, don't get involved in that. Well, if you've ever done dowsing with a stick, like a Y stick, it pulls you down. You will literally feel it. I mean, you will feel it in your arms. It's, your hair will stand up because it is a pull on you. So there's this energy that's in the earth that allows you to be affected by it. If that's the case, then all this stuff is connected and it's affecting you. So it's interesting that in those archaeological drawings, they're holding something that looks like a pine cone. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what looks like a pine cone?
Oh, wow.
Your
what a tie-in.
Pineal gland.
What
so
a tie-in.
They're
nice.
They're controlling you with this energy. So what happens was, and they were building the Tower of Babel, okay? They were of one accord. They were like a bunch of bees. You take the queen bee. That's why your secret societies use the beehive. The queen bee is the one with the brain. That's your top of your pyramid with your eye, your all-seeing eye. And then your worker bees that are under it are being controlled. Okay, because you know bees, you do something to the queen. Those worker bees are like scattered. They don't know what to do. And a lot of them, they just die. The hive dies because the queen bee is gone. In other words, the universal consciousness that I talk about in my Beguile series connects them all. Well, what was happening is, at that time at the Tower of Babel, they were all of one mind. They were all connected, and there's no doubt in my mind that these beings had that little box controlling that magnetic, electromagnetic energy, and they could use that pine cone to control humanity. And so you would be like the worker bees, making all this stuff for one purpose. And what did God do? He made it where people didn't understand everybody's language. It was sound. You think about the buzzing, humming of a bee. It literally will affect your pineal gland. That's why people sit in a cobra position, meditating, going, they're doing the same thing as a bee, because it's bringing that and opening that eye up. It's all connected. And it's evil. If you're playing with it, you're playing with something that's so evil that was used against humanity at the Tower of Babel. And that's why God he destroyed it, changed it, so you couldn't have that knowledge of vibratory stuff going on.
All right, we got a bunch of questions here. Let's see if we can get some short answers to some of these questions. We'll get right back to it. All right, let's get to this one here. Michael Fraley, will the 5G interrupt our spiritual consciousness and connection to God, and will it suppress our third eye?
I really believe it will, and I believe that's where we're headed. Because like I was saying, MIT has already developed the process to be able to beam stuff at you and put, like, hey, Daniel, how are you tonight? In your head, you know, and you can hear it without anybody else hearing it. So the development of this technology started in the 1960s with Jose Delgado, and the intention was to use it against the Russians. We went there with the purpose of trying to develop something that we use psychological warfare. In other words, we want to shut this down without firing one shot. And what we're able to do with this technology is raise your blood pressure, make you feel nervous. We can use telluric energy like that. If you get into a site, an oracle site, it will actually make you feel jumpy and nervous. If I can take and use that at you and you don't know it, I can make your blood pressure go up. In other words, I can control you biologically. And if I can control you biologically, you have no ability over it with your free will, which is scary.
All right. Put Yahweh First says, how can you reduce the size naturally, the size of the amygdala in the brain where anger comes from? How can you reduce that?
Oh, I don't know that you can. I don't think you can really reduce that. I've never known anybody that could do that. I think that the brain, like I said, when you cross-section it, and it looks like the Ark of the Covenant, when you cross-section it, it will look like the wings of the Ark of the Covenant of the angels. And then the gland here sits single in the center like the pineal gland. and it's overseeing it. You know, even in all your things as far as drawings in the pyramids, you know, we've always been saying, well, that's an eye, the eye of Horus. Well, the problem is, anatomically, it's the same as your pineal gland. Okay. It looks just like your pineal gland anatomically.
All right. Doreen asked this question. Do you believe in the rapture?
As you know, the word rapture does not appear in Scripture. And, a lot of people get confused about that. But what does appear in Scripture is the catching away. And the catching away is what I talk about in my third book of the Baal series. No, in my first book of the Baal series. It's in the last part of that. What happens is there is something called the thief in the night. And what happens is that Jesus will come back as a thief in the night. And he will bring back the saints that have gone with him since he was crucified, because he told the thief, this day you will be with him in paradise. The saints before that were brought up out of the graves, out of Abraham's bosom, and there's no such thing as Abraham's bosom anymore. Okay, so into the New Testament, he brings back the saints and anybody that dies, and anybody that's here or that's Christian are automatically changed in the twinkling of an eye, and you are taken away. Well, you see, people have read the books like the Left Behind series, where they'll say cars will be here and graves will be open and whatever. It happens without anybody knowing it. The Bible talks about there'll be one standing here and then one gone. There'll be one in the bed here and one gone. It happens quietly. There's a parable in Scripture called the 10 virgins. Five have their oil lamps ready, five don't. That's what it's talking about. And if that happens, then the temple door closes, according to the Jewish belief in that, and that's what it's based on, is the thief in the night prophecy, then you're gone. And what happens with the second coming is after the Battle of Armageddon, when Jesus comes back with those people who have received their bodies, just like he, when he resurrected, he received his body and went into heaven. Right. When they come back in the second coming, everybody, every knee will bow. Everybody will see them then. So there's a little bit of difference between the two.
Okay, another question. This is from Scott Richardson. Dr. Pugh, do you think the earth is flat, as Scripture talks about, the firmament on the first page of the Bible, and science has morphed into scientism, absent proof of gravity by their own admission? So a lot of talk about flat earth. Where do you stand on that?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of talk about flat earth. And I have a really good friend that does do a lot of research on flat earth. And when I first heard it, I was kind of, oh, let me go back and look at this again. But the thing is that I have always believed that hell is in the earth, like it says, that it's down there. And I also believe, I was doing a teaching and had, I go to a Bible thing on Tuesday nights where we were really discussing this flat earth theory, for the purpose of trying to understand where it was that Abraham's bosom was and the great gulf that separated, and then what Hades was, because we know Christ went down to the earth and then he rose up and the graves bursted open when he was crucified. Okay, if that be the case, then you've got the firmament and the foundation. We know before there was a flood that what was on the earth was a mist. There was no such thing as rain.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So something came from the sky, came down different, and something from the deep opened up and allowed all this stuff to happen. So it is interesting to me that the people who talk about flat earth, there is some real questions in my mind that we at one time believed that the earth was the center and that everything was focused on us.
Right.
And then, you know, the Catholic Church and Copernicus and Galileo and all that stuff, and then they kind of changed it where the sun's the center of the our universe and that kind of thing. But to me, I think it's worth looking at. I have always believed, don't put a no on something, take a long look at it, because I found too many things that we've been told about things that are not the case.
Absolutely. And you know, I've said that in this program for years. If somebody tells you something, especially it's educational, governmental, even religious, whatever they tell you, start with 180 degrees opposite of what they said, and then work your way back. If it's true, then you'll work back to it. If it's not, you won't be misled. If you agree with them, you're going to be misled. You need to go the other way and work your way back to look for truth. And that, so I absolutely agree with you on that. Nine Lives asked the question, do you know who the Antichrist is?
My anticipation is that it comes from a certain lineage. And the reason it has to come from a certain lineage is because Scripture says it's going to be from an Assyrian-type serpent lineage. And so in my books, in all my books, I trace back from when we came from the flood through Noah, and how it was separated out with the lineage of Canaan that was cursed there by Noah, and mm-hmm. how his lineage came and became into the Khazarian Jews and all this kind of stuff. And then I show how that particular lineage that came out of the flood had recessive serpent genes, and that they reconstituted those genes by marrying into one another. And they became the blue bloods that live among us today. Wow. If you do the research on blue bloods, they're all connected. The people that run the world literally are all kin in some form or fashion, if you really go and look at it. They are so in tune to controlling us, and Scripture tells us in the parable of the wheat and tares, that they are with us. They are with us. They look like us, but they're not of us. Mm-hmm. And when you do research on these royals, you find out that they drink blood, they eat human flesh, they eat things like mummies. I mean, there's all these kind of things. So when I started looking at this and trying to figure out, okay, is there someone that we can find that would, with the days coming in like they are, with what we believe is the prophecy of the last pope in place, who could be right now among us that would qualify scripturally as an antichrist? And we know from having seen Princess Diana on many occasions stand and say that she was used as a birthing chamber.
Yep.
She tried to commit suicide. She tried to kill her and William when she was pregnant with him. I mean, my book, this Beguile series, the third volume, mm-hmm. right, this one right here,
yep.
is where I talk about all the lineage stuff and how Prince William has been groomed to take over at the end of days. What people don't really realize, and what I really try to go through and show in this, is that the old Roman Empire, which is supposed to resurface at the end of days, the British Empire was the same thing. And so the sun never sets on the British Empire. Mm-hmm. Who is the wealthiest person in the world? It is the Queen. So when you start seeing that you've got the person in place who genetically meets the predisposition of what the Antichrist is supposed to have, mm-hmm. he's supposed to be able to stand in the temple of God proclaiming himself to be a God according to 2 Thessalonians. Mm-hmm. Okay, if that would be the case, the only way to stand in the temple of God would either have a rebuilt temple and stand in it. But the problem is, when Jesus was here, he told the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees, he told them, he said, look, this temple is going to be raised back up in 3 days. And they were like, oh my gosh, it took us 40-something years to build the temple. What are you talking about? He was talking about his body. That they were going to kill him, but in 3 days, he was going to raise it. Well, if Thessalonians is talking about that this person, this Antichrist, is going to be walking in the temple of God, stating that he is God, when you clone Jesus, you have no soul that you can cast out.
Right, right.
Okay, the thing that's most interesting to me is that, and you can go to my website, you can see where we have put William's faces in with the Shroud of Turin.
Right.
I've had because that. Pope John Paul II made it very clear in all the things he spoke about that he was the Pope of the fissioning. And once the fissioning was completed, King Arthur would rise again. And if anybody knows the story of King Arthur, it's that King Arthur dies and he comes back as a child through the Holy Grail. What was the Holy Grail? The blood of Jesus.
All right.
So, yes, wow. I believe that we have got to keep our eyes focused on William. We've mm-hmm. got to keep our eyes focused.
All right.
Because he meets the qualifications. And like I say, it's not my theory. It's that I've done scientific research carrying this back lineages, carrying it back what happened, carrying it back to how he has the power, how he can do what he does, and how he could literally be according to Princess Diana, she didn't want to name him Arthur. His name is William Arthur. And usually a son is named after their father. But Prince Charles wanted to name William Arthur first. And Diana would not name him King Arthur.
Wow.
So they named him William, but the problem is, it's Will I Am Arthur.
Wow.
So I think you really need to pay attention. It's not just a guess. It's not a whim. Mm-hmm. It's really science saying he meets the credentials of what the Bible tells us. When you talk about a Messiah or someone coming into the Jewish people and standing and saying, this is who I am, the Judaizers or the people who practice Judaism do not believe Jesus has come. At the end of days, they're going to believe that the God that's the Messiah is Jesus. Well, he has to be from the lineage of King David, which they knew he had to come from. He has to have the blood of a Jew, which I'll show that's exactly what happens when you clone the person.
Right.
You know, and that this body can live just like you and I. In other words, the first tumor that was ever taken out of a woman, okay, is still alive in a petri dish because you can feed flesh. Flesh will continue to live forever and ever. So I use the science behind it. It's not just a guess.
Dr. Joy, isn't William married? And because the Bible says that the Antichrist will have no desire for women, that makes him a homo?
Well, you know, there's always been that speculation that that's what it was. The problem is that when there's the prophecy of St. Catherine, that I go into detail about this. William does not wear a wedding band.
Ooh.
And I go into why he doesn't wear the wedding band and why Catherine, he marries a girl named Catherine, and there's a prophecy of St. Catherine, and she supposedly marries Jesus in a dream before and all this kind of stuff. So, yes, it's well worth the read to get the whole details on why he married somebody named Kate, Catherine, the connection to that. So,
well, hey, man, Obama married a man, so, man, it wouldn't be too strange. All right, but Yahweh first says, is the Pope the false prophet?
The Pope is definitely the false prophet, and the reason he's the false prophet is that they have the ownership of the shroud, and Bible scripture tells us that it will be the false prophet that gives life to the beast. Okay, when Pope John Paul II said the reason for him being Pope was to complete the fissioning, okay, what that means, fissioning is an asexual reproduction of something from itself, like a worm reproduces itself asexually. It's of the same body, okay? Why would a pope say, I was here to make sure the fissioning occurred, and he was pope when William was born? So there could be the fissioning that he was talking about. And then, of course, if you know anything about the prophecy of the popes that St. Malachy wrote about, the prophecy of the popes, every pope has followed in to be exactly what the prophecy said. The last pope would be Peter the Roman. And in my book here as well, I talk about the popes and how Pope Francis, the name he took, makes him Peter the Roman. And he's doing exactly what the prophecy said. He's uniting all the religions under one umbrella.
Let me ask you maybe an unrelated question. I was listening to a podcast on George Washington, and on his deathbed, he said to the doctor, he said, do not bury me for at least 3 days. Now, I know where he got that from because, you know, you have Lazarus, he was resurrected. So I think he was actually believing that he may have been resurrected. And I saw a question come in the YouTube chat that asked the question about a cremation. Is there a difference whether we get cremated or we get buried? Because I'm thinking if I get cremated, man, I'm going to be burnt to a toast and I won't be able to be reassembled. So I'm kind of hoping I'm going to be in the casket myself just in case I have a chance of coming back. Is there you have any flavor on that?
Well, anything that, if you think about, if a person is eaten alive, if they're blown to bits in a bomb, if they're burned up, you still have the ashes. And the ashes are still there. Like I'm telling you, there's still this holographic thing about you that can be brought back together. The bones. I mean,
the ashes wouldn't contain cells. Now, I agree with you on the cells of the holographic version of us in every single cell. But if we're burnt to a crisp, there ain't no cells in there.
Well, there should be still something that makes us us. And what it's calling about the dust of the earth, even the dust of the earth has, and when Satan was told that he was going to eat the dust of the earth, that would be what he was eating. He was eating the dead of the world, but it still existed. It still, you still are the energy that can have that come back to you, whatever is you. Does that make sense? Whether it is ashes or whatever, it will come back to you because it is of you. It is of your particular self.
All right.
You can't destroy that. So, you know, I believe that Jesus was put in a tomb. I believe that people should be buried as he was buried. I do not believe in cremation. You know, I have not had any of my family members cremated, or nor will I want to be cremated. But the intent is, if you think you're going to get cremated so that God can't judge you in a judgment, don't fool yourself.
Well, if you're blown to bits and say, hey.
Yourself. You're not going to be able to fool yourself.
All right. So those of you watching that are in our chat, blast furnace or casket? Just blast furnace or casket? Just a few people, whoever wants to answer that. Do you want a blast furnace or you want a casket? All right. And let's get to another question. Does everyone have a pineal gland?
Everyone has a pineal gland, and a lizard, it's workable.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always known that, but I will honestly say it's workable in humans, but they just don't want you to know it, because that's how Satan is going to eventually take over the mind and control you. And that's why, at the end of days, the 144,000 are sealed in their forehead. If they were not sealed, they could not withstand the Antichrist. Because if you're left here after the catching away, you have no way to biologically fight what's going to happen to you.
But it's
already happening, because they can already talk to you in your brain already now.
Mm-hmm.
And remotely make you sick, remotely make your heart speed up, make you have panic attacks. They can do all kinds of things to you that you biologically can't stop. Mm-hmm. In other words, you're being controlled at a distance. It's like if you drink something and it speeds your heart up until it wears off, you can't make it slow down. You can't sit there and go, slow down.
Right.
It has to wear off. With this kind of stimulation can keep on you to the point that it can kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're perfecting that. It's getting to the point of perfection.
Mm. It looks like we're about evenly split on blast furnace or casket. Somebody pointed out, hey, if you get blast furnace, you've got to worry about the worms eating your bones, and you can't even scratch and stuff like that.
You're not there. Let me say, the moment that electrical charge leaves your body, you're not there.
Mm.
You are literally separated from it. You will not feel anything. Anybody that had a near-death experience can explain to you that even if you're in the most tragic accident and your head is cut off, you see your head laying there and your body laying there, but you are you.
Mm.
You are still you with your mind, but you just don't feel that. You see it, but you don't feel it. But you're
still
you.
See, that just blows the Muslim thing off all up, because they're always cutting people's heads off. All right, this question here says, this is from Azur. On your opinion on sleep paralysis, is that a natural occurrence or a spiritual occurrence?
Well, sometimes, you know, sleep paralysis has always been like temporal lobe manipulation. There's different things that can be done to make things happen, but I think it's very strange that especially when you have, different people have different things. They'll say that there's an entity there, they feel the entity, they feel the pressure of the entity that's there with them. Some people describe it as an old hag. There's different ways that it's actually prescribed or said that it's happening to you. If it's the case, I mean, I've had people say it's like a pressure on you, that they're pushing down on you, and that you cannot move. And then there's other times that you are cognizant and you literally can't move. We have paralysis as a normal thing, because if we didn't have paralysis, then we would all be up running around acting out our dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in place for a reason, and that's what happens when you sleepwalk. Something has happened and it's changed something that allows you to get up and you move around. But, for example, if we didn't have that paralysis happen, then if you were in a gunfight or you were doing something, you were fighting somebody, you would be standing up in your room doing all that, because you would be moving. Mm-hmm. So you're in a paralysis situation as a normal process to allow your brain to recharge itself, but at the same time to allow your body to actually sleep and rest.
Well, Dr. Joy, I had the push-down experience, and I just started saying the blood of Jesus. I didn't know what to do. I was young. And only thing I knew was the Lord's Prayer. And so, you know, I start saying, you know, the Lord's Prayer, and this finally went away. But it sure seemed to me like it was some sort of entity trying to press the life out of me.
Well, you know, the thing that's interesting is the fact that you did the right thing. And all the studies and all the research I've done, when people have abduction experiences or have experiences like you are saying, the best thing is to call out the name of Jesus. And every time every time, whether it's an abduction or one of these experiences, I'm telling anybody that's watching today, mm-hmm. if you will call out the name of Jesus, it will stop. It mm-hmm. will stop. And that's the only thing that we've been able to find scientifically that will stop this mm-hmm. kind of experience. Right. So what does that tell us? Well, according to Scripture, when these demonic presences were there, the only way that they could be cast out, and even if you and I are you know, studied the priesthood and we go to do exorcisms, we can't cast them out. We have to cast them out in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, even the disciples would say, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk in the mm-hmm. name of Jesus. Yeah. You have got to use Jesus' name to make that stop. Mm-hmm. And it works. Well, and it's the only thing that does work.
And I can tell you, Dr. Joy, of all the hundreds and hundreds of interviews I've done, those exorcists that are sort of neither believers or not, and believe me, there's a bunch of them out there, I've asked them point blank, have they, in their research, have they come across any exorcism that's been performed in the name of Muhammad? And they say, no, it doesn't work. Or did any alien visitation stop when the person starts saying, Muhammad gonna get you? No, nothing. It's always Jesus.
It's always Jesus. And it says that the only thing that will make every knee bow, every tongue confess mm-hmm. is Jesus. Mm-hmm. There is nothing other than that that will stop any of mm-hmm. this. And I mean, I've had people who have had terrible experiences. I mean, we're having these reoccurring things happen to them. But the moment they started saying Jesus, they've never had any more problems. And I've never known of anybody mm-hmm. being able to be any kind of bad spirit cast out. Mm-hmm. Or any kind of exorcism done in any other name except Jesus. Yeah. Nothing else will work.
Now, that let me get you on this other question here related to that. There are really some really nice people in my Facebook and other places that say Jesus' name is Yahshua, HaMashiach. You know, I mean, they use this name as if they have some kind of magical version of it.
Formula.
But I've not heard anybody getting demons cast out of them in the name of Yahweh, and I'm not belittling their view or the name or any name. I'm just saying, or Yeshua, it's always Jesus. It's like, well, then if Jesus, the name of Jesus worked all through time, why is this late? I have the correct understanding of it now, but nobody's getting demons cast out. Nobody's coming from the dead. The sick is not being healed in any other name. I mean, so is it the name or the belief in the name? What's your opinion on that?
Well, you know, we have to know this, that even in Jesus's day, they didn't use the J. I mean, you know, those Hebrew was different, Greek's different than English. But the problem is the belief in what you're saying. It's the belief. Mm-hmm. It's like when anybody was healed, they had to have the belief that they were going to be healed. Mm-hmm. In other words, when the woman touched Jesus, she touched him believing that she would be healed.
Right.
So I think it has more to do with the belief in it, but at the same time, it is working by using the name of Jesus. We have to remember, at the Tower of Babel, God got rid of this one thing. Okay, so however you say the name, if you say Jesus mm-hmm. in Spanish, that's Jesus in English. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's the same entity. But it's not like what the Pope wants you to believe, that we worship a God with many names, mm-hmm. but we're worshiping the same God. That is like absolutely false. And that makes him a false prophet to even begin saying that. Mm-hmm. Because it's not. Christianity is totally different than any other religion, including Catholicism.
No doubt about that. We don't got guys walking around with pointy hats and skid marks in their robe. All right, here's a question. Now we're going to be having a monster show in a couple of weeks. So here's a kind of a pre-monster question, Dr. Joy. What's your thoughts on sightings such as giants, dogman, or Bigfoot?
Well, you know, these sightings that people really, you know, have, you know, some of them are really kind of impressive, I think. We've mm-hmm. got to remember that, like, for example, the Hopi Indians said that they came from within the earth. Mm-hmm. You know, they talk about the ant people that existed. Yeah. So you and I both have never been to the far inners of the earth. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always been this question that there's Middle Earth. Mm-hmm. We know that there was voyages by Admiral Byrd. There's been the questions that he went down in there. He saw unusual and strange things. We know that Hitler and his people were in the Antarctica for a variety of reasons. So, you know, if these things exist in the depths of the ocean, in the cliffs, in the caves somewhere, or down in the earth, I'm not saying that those things cannot be real, because even the labyrinths that exist down in South America, I mean, you go down in there and they talked about the Mentor and all this thing that was down in there a long time ago and in their beliefs. These were beasts. These were strange creatures mm-hmm. that existed down in there. I mean, you've got cave drawings of things.
Yeah,
you know,
did.
The Hopi Indians have strange things with these huge creatures, these big things. Even your Mayans, your Incas, your Toltec, all those mm-hmm. people that were down in that area, they have unusual beings and things that existed. Mm-hmm. So I fully believe that we have not gone to the depths of the ocean. We haven't gone down in the volcanoes. We haven't gone down into the center of the earth. And if
right.
we have, like in Area 51, where they say there's different levels that you go down in there, but I fully believe that some of these things that people have heard and seen, I don't think they're making it up. It's like the people I deal with mm-hmm. alien abductions or seeing UFOs or whatever. They're not making this up. They just want to go, Dr. Joy, mm-hmm. I'm scared. Tell me what happened to me and make it stop. You know, they're not trying to get on CNN. They're not trying to get $1 million because they saw something.
Right.
They're literally scared of something that they really had happened to them.
Yeah. I heard there's 1 million dyslexics that are descending upon Area 15. So hopefully
51.
They'll...
51. Area 51. Yeah.
No. I said dyslexics.
Oh, dyslexics. Oh, you said dyslexics.
I got you.
You got me.
I got you on that.
But the funny thing is, what if we did storm that?
Yeah.
You know, I know that...
I'm there.
We you know, that it was a kind of a joke thing played... on the internet,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, you know, there's going to come a day, Daniel, that it's like the people that are in the military right now. You know, they've been told to be quiet. You know, we'll court-martial you. We'll take away this. I mean, I've had people that were on their deathbeds that were literally people who saw things in the military, who were told that if you ever tell, your family will die. We'll kill you. I mean, these are people that were scared to death that their families, and they waited till they were dead. They were the last ones, and they would come and say, I'm fixing to die, but I want you to know this. Okay, well, when a person's doing that and they're fixing to meet God, they're mm-hmm. not going to be lying about something. So there's getting to be too many things, and I think enough people in the military are going, like these people were talking about, storming Area 51. It's like we've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't defend against this. If I was flying one of those F-16, F-18s, I mean, if I was even in one of the space shuttle things up there going around the Earth, if I saw something like that and I was being exposed to it and it was my job to be in a military role, it would concern me greatly that I could not protect my family or people from it. And mm-hmm. yet... our government is making everybody think, oh, we're secure. Yeah, we
right.
might be secure from the Russians and the Chinese.
Bastards.
But we're not secure from something that we can't figure out what it is.
No, we're definitely not secure for what's going on down in there. Southern Boy wants to know, what do you think is going on in Antarctica?
Well, you know, Antarctica, now that we've got global warming, supposedly, it's melting. And, you know, when it starts melting, we're going to start seeing things that we've never seen before. And, you know, there's a lot of photographers are jumping on the boat to get up there to start taking pictures because they fully believe that there's something going to really come out. And, you know, there's always been the speculation of the monoliths that are up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, if that's the four corners of the Earth, like we were talking about flat Earth theory, you know, we can't see past those ice sheets. You know, even global Earth doesn't, like, give us the whole picture.
No,
it kind of stops right here and there. Well, when it starts melting,
but we're going to see some
kind
stuff,
of like, what's there?
Hey, I'm all for it, man. I'll take a blowtorch up there and start melting that thing. I want to know what's down there. I think hidden history of the Earth is down there.
Oh, yes. It's like we didn't believe, like, in things about Cleopatra. And then when we got able to do underwater examination, we have found mm-hmm. pyramids under the oceans. I mean, there's mm-hmm. these huge structures and all these cities mm-hmm. that are inundated with water that really existed that we've mm-hmm. said in history classes, oh, well, that didn't really happen. It's mm-hmm. mythological.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing as Plato writing about Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've always said this. Plato, Socrates, and Aristotle were intelligent men. They weren't writing bestsellers for Amazon.
No. No.
So when they sat down to write something, they were writing history. So there's no doubt in my mind that out where he's talking about in the ocean was a island more than likely called Atlantis just like he said it was.
Mm-hmm.
Why? He wasn't selling a book.
Right.
He
no.
wasn't writing a story for
Not
the fun
then.
Of it. Those guys were sitting around going, "Oh, I think I'll do a bestseller today," you know?
Right. And there wasn't fake news back then either.
Exactly.
You know, Steve Quill.
We're going to find that.
Steve Quill said
it's an area out there.
Steve Quill points out that a lot of places in the Grand Canyon are named after Egyptian names and kings and gods and various things. Do you think that they got clones down in Area 51? When we talk about cloning of the blood of Jesus to the Antichrist,
yes.
Is that a place where that would have took place?
I think that, you know, like when you talk about, in fact, in one of my books, I talk about the Isle of Dr. Moreau when they did the movie, The Island of Dr. Moreau, and what it was that they were redesigning, like the mammoths. And we talk about, like, they had the story about the dinosaurs coming back. You know, we saw those movies about Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me that a scientist on some island out there, wherever, that it's a private island, wouldn't have the capability with the right science. I mean, like I'm saying, cloning is not a hard thing. They were cloning frogs back in the 1800s.
Yeah.
So it's not like Dolly, it was known about, and we were told about Dolly, you know, the first sheep that was, you know, cloned.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't been told the whole story. Well, now, if I'm a scientist, and I want to know what a huge mammoth looked like and what a dinosaur looked like, and I have got something that I can clone, don't you think you would do that?
Yeah,
I mean,
and
really?
if we didn't know how, I bet you the AI supercomputers could tell us how to do it.
Exactly.
Because I'm one to believe, Dr. Joy, that there are entities residing within those computers.
Well, there's
like a
possibility with technology, especially like we have with fiber optics and things like that. There's a lot of stuff that's going on, and like I'm telling you, when you see stuff and things flash before your eyes, the eye is so slow, because that's why magic works, because our hands are faster than the eye. And when I started doing research on this with backward masking, and when, you know, we heard like backwards, Paul is dead,
right.
Even with the Beatles. And then they would use things like red in the movie theaters to make you thirsty.
Mm.
And then they started using subliminal messaging, like if you're in a store and they're going, buy something, but
right.
You're hearing music.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you were looking at VCR tape, you could stop and look at it frames, and what I started finding in frames, it would be like frames, and then there would be this weird picture that shouldn't be in there.
Right.
And then we would go and look at other frames, and then there would be another ugly picture. But if you ran it forward, you never saw it. It was like, but was your brain picking it up?
Wow.
Yes. And see, that's the scary thing, is that you can be indoctrinated and made to do things and think things that you don't even know you're being made to think or do.
That is crazy.
That's scary.
And I don't even know how we'd be able to turn. Don Morgan wants to know, what do you think about A negative blood type?
You know, there's not very many of that. And it's always been the question that it had something to do with the serpent lineage, the blue bloods. I fully believe that the blue bloods are established from a DNA that's serpent, that came from a mixture of evil and good, and not from the true lineage of Jesus Christ and the pure lineage that came out of Eden. So I don't think it's really something to be concerned about, no different than I think if somebody's got six toes or six fingers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had a lady that worked for me that had the six toes on both of her feet, and that was the DNA that we saw in the Bible of Scripture. It talks about that the giants had the, you know, six toes and six fingers. So if you have that, I don't want you to be like freaking out that you're a serpent in any form or fashion and that you can't be saved and that kind of stuff, because that's what freaks people out, is that they've got something uniquely strange and it's going to cause them not to be able to get into heaven, that kind of thing.
Hmm. Well, Dr. Julie, we're just right at the end here. Anything else you'd like to say about your books, your website, or anything you'd like to tell people directly? You go right ahead.
Well, if they've got any questions, they can go to my website at www.drjoy.com, and there is a form, there, a submission form, and if you are interested in asking me a question that we didn't get to tonight, or knowing about my books or anything like that, you can send me an email. I get emails from all over the world, and so it does take me a while to answer some of them, and I can't answer a question that I wrote a book to explain, you know, but if I can do something really kind of in a paragraph, I can do that because I have limited time to be able to do it. But I try to answer them. And then if you want me to be on a radio show or talk show or whatever, then you can contact me that way as well. And then I'm on Facebook under Joy Pugh. It's J-O-Y-E and then P-U-G-H. And you can friend me and you can keep up with the shows that I'm doing, like with you today, Daniel, and what's going to be happening and what I'm going to be doing in the future. So my books are there at my website. All you have to do is just click on them. It'll take you to the bookstores. The links are there. And there's an explanation of what's in the books. But if you have a specific question about some particular aspect of my research, if you'll just email me, I can tell you which book it might be in if you are interested in that particular area of research. But the biggest thing that I think I want to leave people with is that we are not able to die and it just end. Because we are what we are and we are energy, it can never be destroyed. So it's my calling, I think, to try to warn people that you do have a choice between good and evil. And you need to know that you are here for a purpose. Nothing is a coincidence. And it's important for you to make the right decision. And I hope that through my research, that if you've had questions that took you down the wrong rabbit hole or turned you away from religion, that these will give you answers so that you can make an informed decision about eternity. Because 70, 80, 90 years, 100 years on this earth is nothing like eternity. It lasts forever. And I don't want you standing before God going, well, nobody told me. I really feel like that God has given me the talent, the information, the knowledge to try to tell people about it and answer the tough questions. I'm not afraid of the tough questions. These are things that I had questions about as a young person growing up and as an adult. And so when I did my research, I did it for me, so I wasn't trying to fool me. So it's really spot on stuff. It's not just blowing smoke. It's not smoke and mirrors. It's spot on, and it's not, and they're not bedtime stories. You know, I'm really telling you things that are nonfiction and that are really real. So it is my hope that you can take my information and what we've seen tonight and what you allowed me to talk about and really process it and make the wise decision about you, because nobody is going to stand in judgment with you. You're going to have to stand. And our Creator loved all of us to create us, and He wants you to be in heaven with Him. But He gives you that choice. He allows you to make that choice. And I just want you to have an informed mind so you can make the right choice.
Very, very good and very well said. Dr. Joy, I appreciate you coming on the Edge television broadcast. Can we have you on again sometime?
I would love to, Daniel. I would love to. So just let me know. And like I say, my books have got a lot more information on them that we could spend hours talking about. So I would be thrilled to be back on your show again.
All right. Very good. We'll have you back, Dr. Joy.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.